Tonight I'll be preaching from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'll be reading from verse 1 down to verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for your precious word. Thank you for what you did on Calvary's cross in coming to this earth to suffer and to bleed and to die. May we never forget your sacrificial love. May your love motivate us to love you more and to love others and to do all we can to see people one to the Lord. Take full control. Give me the words you'll have me to say. Cleanse me of sin and empty me of self. Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit that I may preach what thus saith the Lord. Lord, may we give you all the honor and glory, for you alone are worthy of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. You know, for any company, any institution, it's vitally important that the employees, the stakeholders, all those involved in that institution understand the company's mission. Because the mission guides every activity, every endeavor, every transaction, so that that company can accomplish what it has set out to do. The Church of the Living God is no different. God has a mission for his church. And this mission was made completely and categorically clear before Jesus departed and ended his earthly ministry to go back to heaven. And he gave this mission by way of what we understand and what we term as the Great Commission, mentioned in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you." And notice what he says after he says that. He says, "And lo, I am with you," what? "Always, even unto the end of the world." And so Jesus is pretty much giving not only our marching orders, but he's also giving us his commitment to be with us in this endeavor. My friend, with such a clear command, it is imperative on every single one of us who name the name of Christ, every single one of us who is a part of God's church, to understand our mission. You see, when we forget the mission, we not only find ourselves involved in a variety of different things that have nothing to do with the mission, but sadly, we end up losing God's power and lose his sanction for what we are engaged in. And so as we emphasize missions, I trust that this would not be only be an emphasis for today, an emphasis for this month, but it would be an emphasis to guide every action and endeavor that we engage in as a church. And I've been saved long enough to recognize that when we prioritize what is near and dear to the heart of God, my friends, things work in accordance with God's will and his purpose. I don't have time to tell you all the things that fall into place when we prioritize what is near and dear to the heart of God. But suffice it to say, as we, my wife and I and our family lived in the United States, and I began to ponder more this important aspect of missions, I began to see how it impacts our lives individually. It impacts our churches. Our churches then impact our communities, and the entire world is affected by this aspect of missions. And one of the things that we're going to recognize here in our text, which ought to be an encouragement to each and every one of us to truly make missions a part of our consciousness and in what we do and how we function, is that every single person has a role to play. No matter how small, no matter how great, you can have an impact on this entire world. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth, we know, was near and dear to his heart. It was a church that had been started by the Apostle Paul. He was in Corinth for 18 months, and God, through his grace, raised up a church in this heathen city. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that they came behind in no gift. In other words, God is able to start a church anywhere. It just requires the obedience of his people. And so this church was instrumental in inspiring other churches. And I tell you personally, as a pastor here at Child Baptist Church, I've always recognized that we are serving God in a small island. We're serving God in a small country. We're serving God, relatively speaking, in a small region. But we can have a worldwide impact because of a testimony of God being in this place. And so this church of Corinth had impacted other churches in a places called Macedonia, churches like Philippi and others. And through their desire to be involved in missions, to support missionaries financially and prayerfully, these churches had been inspired to do the same. Now, sadly, this commitment made by the Church of Corinth, for whatever reason, was not kept. And so the Apostle Paul, recognizing that these churches were inspired by Corinth, but somehow they had failed to fulfill their commitment financially to these missionaries, he writes back to them and says, you're going to have to do what you promised. Because these churches, it would be a shame for them to recognize that they were inspired by you, but you had not fulfilled your commitment. That's the background to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And so we want to be able to look at this short text tonight and notice the importance of an example. An example. My friend, your example, no matter how insignificant you might think you are or your sphere of influence, understand that an example is powerful. A good example is powerful. And so notice in verse number 1, the supernatural provision. You may say, what is the supernatural provision that you're referring to? Notice the Bible says here, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the what? The grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. This is the grace. Paul is referring to the grace of God bestowed on churches like Philippi, who were not in as well-to-do cities as the church of Corinth. My friend, never limit or minimize the power of God's grace. You know what grace is? Grace is the push of God. Now, can you imagine how strong or how impactful you and I would be when we have the hand of God upon our lives? the hand of the God of the universe. And so grace is God's push upon our lives to accomplish what we would not be able to do otherwise. And so when it comes to this provision, that is why I refer to it, rightly so, as a supernatural provision, because it's the hand of God, it's the push of God, it's the sanctioning of God. My friend, understand that one plus God is majority. And so when it comes to this supernatural provision, the Apostle Paul is saying, and he's referring to churches that were in impoverished places, as we'll see in verse number 2. He's saying that they had this thing called the grace of God upon their lives. And because of this supernatural provision, they were able to accomplish great things. I'm grateful for God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. What a blessing to be a recipient of the grace of God. So he mentions the supernatural provision, and then he goes on in speaking of the example of these churches. He says, I want you to understand that these churches of Macedonia had some severe problems. Some severe problems. He says in verse number 2, how that in a great trial of what? Affliction. They were being afflicted. In other words, they were not serving God on easy street. They were not serving God in easy times. They were experiencing a great trial of affliction. And notice their second problem. He says in verse number 2, their what? Deep poverty. Wow. But that's quite a combination of problems. I mean, here you have affliction. It's very likely that they were being persecuted for their faith. And on top of that, they were not just in poverty, but they had the deep kind. Anybody here? You want to suggest that you're in deep poverty? I'm going to tell you, no, we're not. Not the kind that they had. I mean, everybody in here, I mean, looks well-dressed, well-kept. Credit card. Well, thank God for credit card. You all look very good. They didn't have any back in Philippi. They didn't have any credit card in Macedonia. So guess what? Because of their deep poverty, I mean, they probably, their meals suffered. Their homes suffered. I mean, they were in deep poverty. We're just not there. And you know, after a while, we are so blessed that we take the blessings for granted. I mean, I'm telling you, it's very easy to get accustomed to things. That's just how our human nature is. You heard the story about the man who met this homeless man on the street, and he had some sympathy on him. And he said to the homeless man, you know what? I'm going to help you out. I'm going to start giving you $100 every month. Man was very grateful. Thankful for this man's generosity, and not just his one-time generosity, but his commitment to give him this amount every month. Maybe sometime after, the man came back to him and he said, brother, I promised to give you $100 every month, but I have married a wife. And so I have some additional commitments and some responsibilities that I'm going to have to reduce that $100, and I'm going to have to cut it in half. And so I'm going to give you $50 every month. Man was, you know, a little disappointed, but he was thankful that he would continue to be generous to him. Sometime after, as would normally be the case, the man had a child. And you understand how expensive children are. We're grateful for them, amen? But they cost money. And so the man comes back to him and he says, sir, I had a child and I'm going to have to cut back further. So I'm going to have to reduce the $50 to $25 a month. By this time, the homeless man is very perturbed. He said, "Boy, so I see you feeding your family off of my money." We tend to get accustomed to things and we take the things that we have for granted. But these churches in Macedonia had some severe problems. But I want you to notice the special process. You see, that is why God's grace is so important. That in spite of their severe problems, notice what verse 2 says, that in a great trial of affliction, notice the abundance of their what? You miss that? Their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, God's grace got a hold of their lives, that in spite of their severe problems, they still had joy. Listen, that's a supernatural working of God's grace in their lives. Because normally, when people don't have money, the joy gone out the window. And so, there was a special process at work in their hearts and in their lives that they would have joy in spite of their problems, and that it would not only exist, but that it would abound. In other words, their joy would multiply unto the riches of their liberality. They had a special process. That's why this church, these churches of Macedonia, were such a great example of the power of God upon their lives. And notice the sure process in verse number 3. The Bible says, "For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were first what? Willing of themselves." You see, my friend, when it comes to the work of God and God working in our lives, there has to be a willingness from the heart to let God be God. Let God use us. This aspect, I say it all the time, over and over, because it is so evident in this thing called serving God. It is heart business. There has to be a willingness. And so this sure process involves the fact that they were willing of themselves. They didn't look at what they had and what they did not have. They first of all said, "God, I want to be used by you." So they were willing. And because they were willing, they did something beyond their power. Did you miss that? So here it is. They had a particular ability. As much as they had little, you know what? There's always something we could do. Sometimes we look at it and say, "Oh, that's so small." But there's a limitation when it comes to our abilities. Whether it's small or great in our eyes, it has a cap. It has a ceiling. But notice, my friend, when God gets involved in our lives, we then elevate to do things beyond our power, because God's power is working through us. And they were so willing of themselves. Notice verse number 4. They were here begging the apostles to receive what they would give them, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They're like the Apostle Paul, "We're not going to let ourselves miss out on the blessings of God." Imagine, the Apostle Paul probably looked at them and said, "Man, you all are so impoverished. You all have so little. Maybe you could hold on to it." They said, no, "We're begging you. We want to be a part of this thing." A sure purpose. They made up their minds. They wanted to be involved in what was near and dear to the heart of God. Why did they have this mindset? They had this mindset because verse number 5, they were surrendered people. Notice what the Bible says. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own," what? "Selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." If we're going to be used by God in a special way, we must endeavor to be surrendered people. One of the things about being surrendered to God, it is not a one-time process, because surrendering to God is a continuous life of obedience. You see, there's some areas of our lives where we say, God, I'm going to be obedient to you over here. But this area here, not so much. And so that is why God continues to work in our hearts through the preaching of his word, through the conviction of his Holy Spirit. But my friend, if God is going to use it in a special way, we have to just surrender it all and say, God, you call the shots, and I'm going to be obedient to whatever you say to me. Paul is indicating here that the reason why they were used by God, the reason why they were so determined in their purpose, is because they surrendered themselves to God. Over the years, my dad, Pastor Emeritus, preaching, always says, whatever God is saying to you, do it. That's a surrendered life. That's a surrendered mindset. They were surrendered people. And because they were surrendered people, notice in verse number 6 and finally, the solid process. What's the solid process? Keep in mind the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is that these churches wanted to be engaged and involved in the mission of the church to see the gospel spread around the world. How would that be accomplished? By supporting missionaries like the Apostle Paul and others, and Barnabas, I'm sure, to be able to go where they would not have the opportunity to go and to spread the gospel message. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. What's that grace? The grace of giving, the grace of being able to sacrifice, of being able to give by faith, of being able to give out of our abundance. Why? For the purpose of seeing the gospel message spread around the world. What a great example that under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God would be penned in this book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know why? It eliminates all excuses. Because here we have people and churches that from an earthly standpoint would be considered not to have much. Oh, let the rich churches down the street, let them do it. Let them do it. But when we are backed by the push of God, the grace of God, God will do above and beyond what we could do in our human capacity. And so as we continue to emphasize and focus on the importance of missions, let's be reminded of the example of these churches of Macedonia. Don't be intimidated by your seeming limitations. Why? We all have them. Every single one of us, we have limitations. Physically, mentally. You ever got to the point where you felt like you were so stressed you couldn't take another pin? Right? That's the limit of our mental capacity. Sometimes we can't take anymore. We got limitations physically. I am not physically able to lift up this pulpit by myself. I would need help, right? We got limitations financially. We got limitations in every area. But God has no limitations. And so that is why we need his grace. That is why we need his push. And we get God's grace, we get God's push, we get God's sanction when we prioritize what is near and dear to his heart, when we live a life of obedience, when we make the main thing, and let the main thing guide our lives individually and collectively as a local church. Thank God for his grace and for the example and the examples in God's word that prove
that God will be true to his word. And as Jesus left this earth, he gave a promise. You prioritize what is important to me. I promise you, I will be with you always, even unto the end of this age. What a promise! Let's take that to heart and trust God to do great things in our lives.